A continuación, damos la palabra a Jeff Tail, director de programas de WOLA, muy cercano a la realidad de El Salvador y muy amigo también de nuestra universidad.
Buenos días a todos y todas. Estuve aquí en este mismo auditorio hace 4 semanas, tal vez, en un foro sobre violencia e inseguridad con el rector y con Jeanette Aguilar del IUDOP. Hice un discurso, tuvimos una discusión. Resulta de eso, decidí no someterles a ustedes al español mío y voy a hablar después en inglés. I was here about a month ago for a forum on crime and insecurity, and as a result of that, with the rector and Jeanette Aguilar of the University Institute for Public Opinion Research, as a result of that, I decided it's probably better to do this in English. So, so I'm Jeff Thale. As Father Andreu said, I'm the program director at WOLA, the Washington Office on Latin America. WOLA is a non-governmental organization that's followed El Salvador, followed Latin America, human rights and social justice since the 1970s. I'm actually very proud to say that Heather Foote, who led WOLA's first visit to El Salvador in 1978, is here with us today. So that's a great honor for me. And I should say as well that I'm both humbled to be asked to speak about the Jesuits and their legacy, as well as to be in an audience where they're not only Heather and Tom and Scott and Bishop Gumbleton and a whole range of people, but there's a huge set of people here who reflect, and I'll come back to talk about this, but what the Jesuits and their vision of social justice meant for El Salvador and people who've lived that out in their lives. So I'll say a bit more about this. I'm also here today as part of a delegation that WOLA and Jesuit Commons are sponsoring together. The UCA did a tremendous amount, not only to invite us here, but to help us organize the trip. We owe a tremendous debt of thanks to the UCA and to Marielos Torres, who did miracles of logistics for us. And we also owe a big debt to Ana Sorrentino of WOLA, who made it all possible. So what I really want to do is to talk quickly about three things. One is about the immediate impact of the killings of the Jesuits and the effects that had, particularly on the American public, the U.S. public, and the activist community. I want second to talk about the long-term impact, and that's the impact I think we see here among us all today. And then finally, I want to talk sort of briefly about the challenges that I think El Salvador and U.S. Salvadoran relations face today, and what the commitment to social justice that the Jesuits stood for might imply for all of us today and as we look to the future. So on the first of those, you know, as Representative McGovern, I think, has said, it's pretty hard to underestimate the impact that the killing of the Jesuit priest and the two women had on public opinion in the United States. In the late 1980s, there was a strong and active movement in support of, in solidarity with El Salvador, in opposition to U.S. military assistance, and it was pretty broad. There were activist groups deeply committed, there were religious leaders, some of whom are with us here today, there were community groups, there were student organizations, there were groups like SHARE and CISPAS, there were a whole range of organizations with a whole range of opinions and different points of view, interested in El Salvador and concerned about what was wrong with U.S. policy here. For all those groups, the UCA was well known, the Jesuits, many of whom had visited the United States, were well known, and their killing symbolized for many people the notion that the Salvadoran military, the Salvadoran government and the Salvadoran military would stop at almost nothing to maintain their control and maintain their power here in El Salvador. And so when the Jesuits were killed early in the morning of November 16th, as the news filtered out in the United States that day, I remember getting a call at 10 a.m., but as the news filtered out throughout the United States that day, there was a tremendous reaction. There was that very morning a call in the Congress to end all military aid to El Salvador. There were demonstrations and protests throughout that week and in the next couple of weeks, and there was a real surge of outrage that resulted immediately in the creation of the appointment by the House leadership of the Moakley Commission to investigate the killings, which, as most people know, now Representative McGovern played a lead role in carrying out that investigation. And then in the longer term, if the killings happened in November of 1989, by early 1990, a consensus was developing in the Congress as a result of public opinion and public pressure to end or cut back U.S. military assistance. In the spring, the House, the Senate votes to cut U.S. military aid in half. In the fall, the House goes along with that vote. And the message to the military here is very clear. There's no longer a blank check. And the negotiations process, which had begun, gets a tremendous impulse forward. And it's clear, and it ends with a peace accords in 1992. So I think that's the most immediate and visible impact, has a tremendous impact on U.S. policy and a tremendous impact here in El Salvador, leading to the process that brings the peace accords about, brings about the reintegration of the FMLN into the political process. And while enormous challenges, all of us know enormous challenges remain in El Salvador today, opens up the process, the political space, and the process of political democratization. What I want to talk about, though, is not only, I think that's the obvious and short-term effect, and it's a tremendously important and tremendously meaningful effect, but beyond that, I think this room symbolizes it, there's a long-term impact. And I think that the life and the vision and the social commitment of the Jesuits is something that is reflected here in all of the people here who for many years or just recently have engaged with social justice in general and engaged with the question of social justice in El Salvador. And I think if you look around at this audience, there are people who have been concerned about El Salvador in the United States since the 1970s and 1980s. There are people from high schools and colleges who are here today who just recently became engaged with El Salvador. There are religious and activist groups who have continued over long periods of time. And all of that in what it means for solidarity with El Salvador and what it means for people who work for social justice in the United States is the legacy of the Jesuits, the two women, and how they died and what they lived for. And I actually want to ask people to take a moment and give themselves a round of applause for sort of our collective commitment to that vision of social justice. Thank you. Finally, I just want to say a last word about the challenges El Salvador faces today and sort of from the perspective of the life and commitment of the Jesuits, what that might mean for all of us. Everybody knows that El Salvador faces a set of serious challenges. I want to talk about a human rights challenge and then really quickly about the challenges of crime and insecurity and lack of opportunity for young people. Everybody knows El Salvador has a continuing human rights challenge. It's not the challenge it was in the 1980s. It's not the challenge of death squads and disappearances. But it is the challenge of impunity. It is the challenge of a criminal justice system that cannot provide equal justice and equal access for both the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless. And all of the cases we're talking that we know here today, the Jesuit case, the El Mozote massacre, the Gilberto Soto case, the disappeared children that Pro Búsqueda works on, all of those cases symbolize a wound in Salvadoran society and symbolize a weakness, a structural weakness in the criminal justice system that has to be addressed and has to be taken care of in order to move forward toward a more democratic and opening and functioning society. And I hope all of us, both Salvadorans and North Americans, continue to remain committed and continue to want to push forward to see those cases resolved, not only because they're important in themselves, but because they say something about whether there's a functioning system of criminal justice and equality for all here in El Salvador. That's the first point. The second is, El Salvador faces real problems of lack of opportunity and crime and violence. Everyone knows that. It became stunningly clear, I think, in the United States this past summer when the surge in unaccompanied children forced people, forced public opinion and policymakers in the U.S. to recognize what is a daily reality here, which is especially in poor and marginalized communities, people can often feel so little hope and so much at risk that they decide to send family members abroad with coyotes and in danger because that's a better alternative for them than staying in their home communities. That's a terrible and a tragic situation. It is my hope that the Salvadoran government will take new approaches toward growth and growth with equity, will take new approaches toward dealing with the problems of crime and violence, toward a greater focus on prevention. As Representative McGovern, I think, mentioned yesterday, President Sanchez Cerén and the other presidents of the Northern Triangle met with Vice President Biden. They had a series of discussions that hopefully will lead toward a greater commitment on behalf of the United, on the part of the United States, a commitment that I think we have a duty and a debt to fulfill, to work with partners here in El Salvador particularly, to create a situation where there is growth with opportunity and with equity, and there is a new approach to the problems of crime and violence. And Salvadoran youth especially no longer feel that they've got no choice but to flee the country and to do so in dangerous and frightening kinds of ways. So just finally to say, for the North Americans among us here, over the next 6 months to a year, I think we're going to see a discussion in the administration and in the Congress about providing new assistance to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, providing it in new ways in those cases where there's a real commitment on the part of the governments to moving forward toward protection for their citizens, toward job opportunities, and toward violence prevention. If we see that commitment, I hope we will all, in the spirit that the Jesuits lived and died for, work to ensure that our government joins with the government here to provide those kind of opportunities for the poor and marginalized and create a sense of hope for them for tomorrow. And I think, just to wrap up, that would be a fitting legacy to what the Jesuits stood for 25 years ago, and I hope we'll all stand for today and in the future. So thank you very much.